That was Dutch Uncles and Fester here on freshair.org.uk. So a big thanks to the music team for that previous hour. You can hear more from them every night on the Fresh Air Selection, which we play out from 11 p.m, and that's our whole playlist uninterrupted throughout the night. You're listening to F Word on freshair.org.uk, and as always, I'm your host, Eve Livingston. Today we're going to be talking about women's representation in film and TV, and joining me in the studio are Ben Cassidy and Katie Walsh, both from Edinburgh University's Film SOC. Of course, the third panellist is you at home, so do feel free to get in touch throughout the show with your own thoughts. But hello to Ben and Katie for today.
Hi there.
We're going to get properly into the debate in just a minute, but first we're going to play Khalees and Acapella on freshair.org.uk.
This is Fresh Air Monday.
Live from the heart of Edinburgh.
Live from the heart of Edinburgh.
This is your Fresh Air Monday.
From Potter Row to Pleasance.
From Potter Row to Pleasance.
From King's Buildings to Cowgate.
To Cowgate. To Cowgate. To Cowgate.
From Edinburgh.
From Edinburgh. From Edinburgh. From Edinburgh.
To the world.
To the world.
Freshair.org.uk.
Khalees and Acapella on freshair.org.uk. So as I said before that, I'm joined today by Ben and Katie from Film SOC to discuss women's representation in film and TV. So in the wake of last night's BAFTAs, which saw 35 men collect awards in comparison to 5 women, what is the role of women in these industries and where do changes need to be made? So we're interested in women both in front of and behind the camera. And if you've got anything to say on any of these topics or in response to anything that we discuss throughout the show, then we'd love to hear from you. You can email studio@freshair.org.uk. You can tweet us at Fresh Air Radio, or you can text FRESH followed by your message to 60300. So I guess to kind of kick us off, guys, just the big question, I suppose. Do you think it's true to say that women aren't fairly represented in the world of film?
Well, I suppose, compared to 50, 60 years ago, there has been kind of a progression since like the 50s and 60s where, you know, back then women essentially were, you know, typecast in, you know, a couple of roles, either just as, you know, sex objects or to play like a damsel in distress. And, you know, over time, you know, 10 years on, 20 years on, they kind of developed, they managed to branch out, and they didn't have to be, you know, in such niche roles. But that said, given the number of films that men have kind of a primacy, men are always like the main characters and the protagonists in films, and women are usually still there just to support, which I think is kind of it's a bit of an inequity, I feel.
I think whilst modern films are trying to sort of change that role of like the weak woman, such as films like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo that has quite a strong female character lead, there's still a majority of films where women do not play as like powerful roles or as main roles as the men in those films. And like in Skyfall, the women, and most James Bond films, women never play like a powerful role. And I mean, for most people, it's hard to even remember the names of those characters in those films. And even, I think, modern films such as recently Hitchcock show that women have never really had such a powerful role in films. And they often play, like Ben said, the damsel in distress type.
I was going to ask about kind of female role models in films, because there's been recently, or in the last few years, I suppose, talk about things like Twilight and stuff, which have kind of shifted the female role from, I don't know, for instance, Harry Potter or something, where the moral was all about friendship and, you know, working together against evil or whatever. But I remember reading a few things, the kind of big boom of Twilight, about how it was a bit worrying, I guess, in kind of like feminist circles and stuff, that suddenly the biggest selling film ever had this female lead who was maybe not the strongest character, kind of led by the male lead role. I don't know what you guys think about just kind of role models generally, like female characters.
Well, I think there's like a trend with like romantic comedies, for example, where like mostly the it's a film where usually the woman is the main character, but she's usually like sort of dependent character. She's looking for Mr. Right, essentially, and she's often ditzy or clumsy and needs like a man to complete her, essentially. And this is kind of like what they're trying to present to the people who go to see these films, predominantly women as well, who will then go in thinking that if they are like these women, that they will find, you know, true love, which kind of trivializes not only women, but also the concept of romance entirely.
I definitely think films like such as Twilight are damaging towards, like, especially younger generations at which they're aimed at, because, like you said, the female lead is, well, she, like, gives up her whole life just for, like, a guy she fell in love with almost instantly. And I think it is quite sad that that film is one of the most successful films ever in modern times. And also, like, Kristen Stewart, she's one of the most highest paid female actresses for that role. And I think maybe them, like, filmmakers, directors should try to think about the, like, effect they have on younger people.
I think maybe we'll go to a song, but I guess something to think about, and for those of you at home who are interested in getting involved as well, is that despite kind of these popular opinions that these films are a bit damaging and stuff, they still remain, like, the most popular films. Things like Sex and the City and stuff are one of the most popular TV series ever. And I think there's a lot of arguments being made that that's not necessarily a great kind of view of what women's lives are really like or should really be like. So if you're listening at home and you're interested in getting involved, then do tweet us in with your thoughts on that. Why do these films remain so popular despite the kind of criticisms of them on these grounds? We'll come back and we'll chat about that in just a minute after Velvet Elvis from Alex Winston. That was Alex Winston on freshair.org.uk. So we kind of left that last link on a bit of a difficult question that some of you have been getting involved in at home, and we kind of were wondering why these films with female leads who we don't necessarily consider to be the most kind of inspiring or great role models remain some of the most popular films among girls and women. Helen has tweeted in saying that adolescent girls can watch a film with a woman in it and just disagree with her because they're not blind followers. Which I think is a really interesting point. But you guys have some stuff to say in response to that kind of whole big question, don't you, about the popularity of these films?
Well, I think part of it might be to do with the fact that it's been such a deep-seated culture of these films for the past, you know, 10, 20 years. I mean, I think you could trace it back to shows like Friends, that, you know, like Rachel and Phoebe and that, where they're all essentially just, like, idealistically, you know, put up on a pedestal, yet they are, like, so intrinsically flawed, but, you know, sticking to these traditional roles that they've been pegged to, like, sticking to them blindly, almost. And ever since then, it hasn't really been able to break out of that, and that's probably why it's been so deep-seated. It's because nobody has tried to challenge it, nobody's tried to say, you know, maybe we should try something else, maybe people would like something else.
I think whilst it is true to say that many, like, teenage girls can watch these films without being influenced by them, because, like, one of the film industry's main, like, functions is to entertain, there is a large proportion of society that are influenced by these films, especially if it's all that they see, and most of the time that is. And I think they are so popular because, like, one of the main themes in these films is love, and I think most, like, teenage girls see that as, like, something they aspire to want, like, to be loved, and it's quite sad that that's the only way they see it.
So we were talking just kind of while that song was on in the studio about how we can see that there are films, probably more now than there were before, with, like, strong female leads and characters in them, but we were kind of debating whether those women are role models either. So you mentioned The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Katie, and we said that she obviously is a kind of strong woman, but that she's also very kind of deviant and flawed. And so there's a question of whether it's enough to just put women in these kind of stronger roles. And I know that, Ben, you were saying something about women kind of portraying these types of roles.
Reasoning was that you get these characters that are essentially just really macho and really buff and, you know, kick-ass, but, you know, traditionally played by a man, but the novelty being that it's played by a woman. I could cite any film with Michelle Rodriguez in it, where she's essentially just one of these characters that is a man, just not a man. And that's part of, like, you know, the novelty. They're just playing it for that one thing, as for amusement more than anything else.
What do you think about kind of I don't know, Catwoman and Scarlett Johansson and Avengers and stuff like that, I guess they're almost like competing with the men.
Well, I think the Avengers, the portrayal of Scarlett Johansson's character in that, she was kind of, it's a weird one because she was, you know, strong and she was, you know, like kind of independent character, but at times she kind of lapsed into this vulnerable, insecure figure that was just there to be protected by the other superheroes.
And she very much kind of used her sexuality, I think, a lot in that film to get what she wanted and stuff at different points. It's something that struck me. I don't know if there's necessarily anything wrong with that. It was just something that kind of struck me as being typical of female
well,
characters.
Yeah, the thing with that film is that it's essentially just, you know, a character ensemble film. You've got all these different characters from all these different films that came before it that are coming together. And it's just unfortunate that Scarlett Johansson's character was essentially just in there to, you know, smooth it out.
Yeah.
Create a sort of rounded group dynamic.
Yeah, and possibly the fact that she was, like, the only main, like, female in the group of the Avengers shows, like, highlights the inequality of women in film as well. And most of the other characters in that film had had separate films, and hers hadn't. And I think that shows that as well.
So if we're talking about the kind of role of women in films, I don't know if, I assume you guys have heard of the, is it the Bechdel movie test? So it's a test that someone came up with to kind of test whether the films are like friendly and representative of women. And it has three kind of categories that the films have to meet. And one of them is that it has at least two named women in the film. They have to talk to each other about something other than a man. Like throughout the film. And so far in 2013, only 7 cinema release films have like met the criteria of the Bechdel test, and they include Gangster Squad, Ego, and Hansel and Gretel, just for a bit of background. But do you think, I mean, what do you think of that kind of test? Because I don't know what I guess I don't know enough about films to gauge whether that's a kind of good measure or not.
Well, I suppose, you know, it's kind of I don't know where I'm going with this, but I would say it seems a little bit arbitrary, in my opinion, to base it entirely on just, you know, those kind of interactions between women. What about the interactions of men and women together? Like, not necessarily in kind of, you know, like a sexual or, you know, romantic way, but more just treating them as characters interacting together, regardless of gender.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think it's quite like easy to see how most of the films don't meet these like criteria in like the big films of this year, such as like Argo. I can't remember like a standout female character in that. And whilst it is quite like arbitrary to have these things, at the same time, I think it's quite important in a way, because otherwise it's kind of hard to see if films are showing like equal gender representation. And I think it is quite important that they do.
Cool, so we're going to play another song. Do keep on getting in touch with us if you've got anything to say on any of these issues. You can email studio@freshair.org.uk, you can tweet us at Fresh Air Radio, or you can text FRESH followed by your message to 60300. We're going to play Blondie and Heart of Glass, and we'll be back after this. So, Blondie and Heart of Glass on freshair.org.uk. So, we've talked kind of in the first half of the show a lot about representations of women on screen. I think something that's also quite kind of relevant is women behind the scenes. So we're just talking about the Oscars and how only 4 women have ever been nominated for Best Director, and only 1 woman has ever won it in 2009. What do you guys think of this? What do you think it kind of signifies, or think films are really male-dominated?
I think that might be part of the problem. I could only name 2 female directors off the top of my head, Catherine Bigelow and Sofia Coppola, but that might be part of it, because purely because there's so few women in the industry that they're, you know, statistically less likely to win awards based on these things. But then those 2 that I mentioned are 2 of the most, you know, striking directors by their style, like visually. I mean, Lost in Translation, it's a very poignant, very subtle film, But also Catherine Bigelow on the other end of the scale with The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty, which are, you know, just really out there, really big explosions and thrills and all the, these kind of things. I suppose it kind of shows that you don't necessarily need to be a man to make these kind of films. It also shows that, you know, certain people, regardless of their gender, can have, you know, talent for these things.
Yeah, like Ben said, whilst it is quite like a disappointing fact that she only, like, the woman's only won in 2011, the main problem might actually be that there aren't many women like big that are directors, producers, and that's the problem that needs to be addressed rather than that they don't win them. And that's quite like a difficult problem to address if there's not like many female directors for women to like aspire to be like, then it's hard for them to maybe want to become one themselves if they see how hard it is.
I think it strikes me as really interesting because if you kind of look at like really traditional stereotypes and stuff, a lot of the time women are associated with kind of creative, artistic roles. And I guess I don't have stats off the top of my head, but you know, in the kind of art industry and writing and things like that, I think women probably are better represented than they are in film. And it's interesting that it seems to be the kind of one industry that fits in with this whole creative thing that women just aren't getting involved in.
Yeah, I agree. I think whilst in production and like direction, they don't tend to be as involved. They do sometimes tend to have a bigger role in like costume design and set design, but those aren't as like awards that are as prominent in awards such as like the BAFTAs and the Oscars. And even though they're like quite an achievement in themselves, they're not often as celebrated. And I think that like perhaps women are afraid to branch out into production and direction if they don't feel like they'll be like fairly rewarded for that.
So yeah, so that kind of leads on to something I want to talk about, which is Girls, the new kind of HBO series. Ben's looking blankly, he's never watched it, but I think me and Katie are both fans of Girls, and I find it interesting because it's got a lot of kind of publicity for being the kind of first, I suppose, TV show to fairly represent women realistically. And also it's completely written and produced by Lena Dunham, the main character. What are your thoughts on it, Katie, just as a viewer? Do you?
Well, I quite like it myself, but I think one of the things that's seen as like good about it is that the main characters in it aren't like overly beautiful, overly successful or rich, and they're seen as like quite normal, typical women, and like women can perhaps relate more to them in that show. But at the same time, it is like a comedy show, and like it's like, well, created for a purpose, like for people to laugh at. And that you end up laughing at the characters maybe rather than with them, and that maybe like highlights another issue. But at the same time, I think it is like really good, like positive that Lena Dunham has like become so successful and well known and in like writing the series, and like it is a really good show, I think.
Yeah, and she's had a lot of press, I think, for there's a lot of like nudity and sex scenes and stuff, and she's very kind of unapologetic about having a like really realistic female body, which I think is a great thing. But it's really interesting, isn't it? Because we spoke earlier about how a lot of female characters and stuff are flawed, and I think the characters in Girls are very flawed as well, but it's somehow seen as being realistic because they're flawed rather than kind of a poor representation because of that. So that, yeah, that's something interesting. Do let us know. I know a lot of people listening probably have watched Girls. studio@freshair.org.uk, tweet us at Fresh Air Radio, or text Fresh followed by your message to 60300. So we're going to play our F Word track of the week. What we do is we pick a song every week that's kind of like really over the top, like about female like liberation and stuff. It's usually always Beyonce, to be honest. This week is no exception because it's Destiny's Child instead of Beyonce. But we have got Survivor here on freshair.org.uk, and we'll be back after this. That was the sounds of Destiny's Child and Survivor. It's not a very commonly played track on Fresh Air, but it's a good one nonetheless. So we only really have kind of one more link, I suppose, to chat about film and stuff before we move on to our news item. I guess the question needs to be then, if we're kind of coming towards the end of the conversation, about what and where the changes are that need to take place. And I know it's not necessarily an easy one to answer. I guess, you know, is it more to do with just kind of women generally in society need to be brought up in a different way to be more kind of ambitious and stuff? Or is it to do with the actual film industry itself, do you think?
Well, I think that the role that women portray in, like, films, acting-wise anyway, is usually inspired by the society that, at the time, you know, I mentioned at the start about, like, the damsels in distress of the 50s and 60s, mainly because this was before, like, liberalisation of the 70s and, you know, hippies and that stuff. But, like, over time, it kind of changed, you know, gradually, and I think what needs to happen is that we just need to embrace the changes of our society and portray that better through film. I mean, what can happen to change that role-wise? Have strong female characters who are independent but still retain their femininity, so that they're not just caricatures, but that they are, you know, every character in film and TV is an ideal, whether they're a man or a woman. But what we need to do is just present a more realistic ideal, I think.
Yeah, I think that's... I agree with Ben. And also, like, clearly representation of women has improved over time, like, from the 50s. And hopefully, like, as time goes, it will get, like, better and better. And I think it's quite hard to, like, force it to become better. But at the same time, I think, like, film writers and, like, people who cast people should be looking to represent, maybe not, like... well, you're definitely, like, more women, but also, like, women that are more, like, common in society, like, more that people can relate to or identify with and aspire to be, rather than just, like, pity or, yeah.
So, yeah, so that kind of question of identification and relatability, I think, is interesting, because I wanted to really briefly ask your thoughts on things like Disney films and stuff, because they're obviously so extreme in that they're cartoons and they're fairy tales, and they're not supposed to be representative of real life. So do you think there's a place for films like that that do have these Disney princesses as damsels in distress all the time? Like, do you think that's really an issue? Or,
well, I think with those kind of films, everyone knows that they're just, you know, over the top and are meant to be a caricature for amusement's sake, not to belittle one gender or another. And everyone can sit down and enjoy Finding Nemo, for example, without thinking about, like, the implications regarding sex and gender.
I think it's quite good that the characters in these films aren't, like, made by actual people, that they're, like, cartoon-style things, because it makes it, like, less easy to aspire to be those sort of people or identify with them, because obviously in, like, many Disney films, like the Disney Princess ones, they don't really portray a, like, a positive female, like, model. But at the same time, I think it's quite clear to most people that those films are to entertain and not to, like, influence a generation.
I don't know, I kind of wish I was Simba.
I was going to say, I guess they don't represent a very strong male character either in a lot of senses, yeah, of the kind of handsome prince on his white horse and stuff. But yeah, we're going to go to a song, we're going to play PJ Harvey, and we'll be back after this to kind of go through some of the news stories of the week that are relevant to young women. So this is Let England Shake on freshair.org.uk. So PJ Harvey and Let England Shake. We've only got about 10 minutes left, so we're going to move on to chat about some of the news stories, as we do every week, that are relevant to young women. So first we have the news that the nationwide No More Page 3 campaign has finally been acknowledged by Rupert Murdoch, who tweeted, "Page 3, so last century. Don't know, but I am considering. Perhaps a halfway house with glamorous fashionistas." It marks a landmark moment in the petition, which, since beginning last year, has attracted more than 64,000 signatures and seen publications like The Sun abandon student unions, including Edinburgh's, until it ceases to publish Page 3. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on the whole No More Page 3 thing or on Rupert Murdoch's acknowledgement of it.
It's kind of an antiquated institution, really, in today's day and age, showing that kind of thing. When, you know, so many women, you know, can have their voices heard, it's not only, you know, morally dubious, but also kind of, you know, it's a bit of a kerfuffle, really, because they know that they're open to this kind of backlash. I mean, it might be part of it that they're just thinking pragmatically that people aren't going to buy The Sun if we keep showing these kind of things. but also maybe they just need to move with the times. We're getting to the point where women are, you know, on track to be to have an equal standing with men. Maybe not quite there yet, but I think it's something that needs to, you know, disappear if we're going to get to that kind of equality.
I just think the test of how weird it is if you have to explain it to someone that's never heard of it. So I once had to explain what page three was to like a guy who'd moved over from like Cuba or somewhere, and he was just did not understand. He was just like, what? Which I think says a lot about what kind of strange thing it is that we're all so used to. So next we have the story of an app launched to allow women to rate their male acquaintances via Facebook. The Facebook gender setting is supposed to ensure exclusively female access to the app, which allows women to select ratings from a drop-down menu. It's received very mixed messages, with some welcoming the chance to vet a potentially dangerous man before meeting, and others branding it creepy and an invasion of privacy.
I don't know how I would feel about being rated by people.
I think it, like, creates more problems in a way, because if it was the other way around and there was an app for men to rate women, there'd be, like, so much uproar about that, and I don't see, like, why it should be, like, any different the other way around, and I just don't think it's a good idea in general, so...
Yeah, I kind of think it's just really unfair to all the nice men that are out there. Like, fair enough, there are some really dangerous men, and it would be nice for people to be warned about that, but
maybe
what
not
about
in
all
that,
the very
like,
nice...
setting,
So those are our news stories for the week. Thanks for your input, guys. We're going to play Regina Spektor and All the Robots, and we'll come back just to say goodbye, I guess, after this, here on freshair.org.uk. Spektor and All the Robots on freshair.org.uk.
Tune in to freshair.org.uk.
Edinburgh's student radio station. Streaming online, non-stop.
So we're kind of coming to the end of today's discussion. Massive thank you to Ben and Katie for all their contributions. So we've been talking about women and their representation in film and TV, and I guess all that kind of remains is to just give you guys like a minute or so each just to sum up your position. So if we go to Ben first, do you want to just kind of summarise where you stand on the whole?
Well, I'm an economist by trade, so I believe in the idea of efficiency. I think that the best person for the job should get that job, both, you know, if we're talking about direction and production, as well as the roles that women are given. So I think that ultimately the best way to move forward would be for gender neutrality, that, you know, when writers are producing scripts, that they should account for roles that, and, you know, allow for, you know, either a man or a woman to play the same role. I mean, this happened with the reimagining of Battlestar Galactica. They swapped around the genders of a couple of the characters, and I think it actually made the show better. And, you know, that's a promising trend. And if you think about directors like James Cameron, of all people, he's very big on having strong female women in, you know, in protagonist roles, like Terminator 2 and Aliens. And so I think that that's something that really needs, we need to see more of, not only to see women as protagonists, but not even to see them as women at all, just to see them as an actor. And that's something that I think was interesting, is that they no longer call it best actress at the Oscars, they call it the best female actor. And, you know, that's promising, and I think we need to see more of that.
And Katie?
I think it's clear that the balance and representation of women is becoming better as time goes on, but perhaps not at the speed that like is most like desired, and in a way more needs to be done to ensure that it does become more balanced. But I agree with Ben in the sense that like perhaps like neutrality is a good idea to go by, but like I think that it's also quite damaging to have like quite like over powerful female characters. There should be perhaps a move to like more like normal realistic characters. And like whilst films like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo can be seen as like empowering, it's also again not someone like everyone can like aspire to be or like want to be like. And the perhaps the like the like industry needs to like head more towards normality in representation.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much to both of you for coming on today. It's been a really interesting chat. If you want to get in touch throughout the week with the show, you can keep up to date on our Facebook page, which is just the F word on freshair.org.uk, or you can follow me on Twitter and you'll get a bit of influence over playlisting and content. So that's at Eve_Rebecca. I'm always kind of blogging my own thoughts about the issues that we talk about on the show over on nanu-nanu.com, and you'll also be able to find podcasts of previous episodes there. Stay tuned to Fresh Air tonight. We've got the Jazz Show coming up next. And do join me again next week at the same time for the F Word on FreshAir.dk. For now, I'm going to leave you with a bit of Lana Del Rey and National Anthem.